Hey, I'm Sarah. When people asked me and my husband Matthew about our birth plans, our answer was simple. We're doing it at home. So this is a podcast all about our home birth journey.
Hello, and welcome to the podcast. I am Sarah Bivens, and next to me, as always, is my Star Wars loving, Harry Potter reading husband and baby daddy, Matthew. What's going on, Matthew?
Everything. Hey, beautiful. How are you?
I am awesome. Thank you.
Awesome.
So I want to talk today about you, actually.
Oh, yeah?
I want to talk about the father's perspective of this experience of home birth in particular, as well as a pregnancy preparing for a home birth. I want to hear from the dad's story and experience. You know, we hear a lot from mothers, you know, naturally, and that makes a lot of sense. But there is typically another person to the equation, and I want to just document some of that for us, for our purposes, and I think other people could get a lot out of it to hear how you've experienced this. And this was actually inspired by this magazine that we get from our chiropractor that we go to. They give us free copies of it. It's called Pathways to Family Wellness. And it's a really awesome publication. If you've never heard of it, look it up. In my opinion, it's one of the most high level, high consciousness pieces of content out there on parenting and birth and all things family wellness. I really enjoy it, and there are really great reads in there. So definitely recommend picking that up. But this,
what edition is this? This is issue number 50, summer 2016. So I think the inspiration for, I mean, we had this on our list of topics to go over, mm-hmm. to talk about, but to do it right now, I think was inspired by picking up this magazine. And in it, there's actually a great article where a wife interviews her husband. And, Samantha and David Bice. I think I'm saying that right. B-I-C-E. So. But, it was pretty cool. She interviews him, which, like you said, you don't see a lot of that. You get a lot of the wife, the mother's perspective. But there's a little bit from the father, but they really took some care, especially in this edition of the magazine. This, you know, there's a father on the cover holding his newborn, and the subtitle is Fathering. So this copy of Pathways to Family Wellness, for all you dads out there, I recommend checking it out. You can probably find it online, or just go to your local friendly chiropractor and see if they have a copy. But I'm excited, Sarah, for you to ask me some questions. I glanced at them before we pressed record, but mm-hmm. I didn't really think about them too much, so it'll be pretty much
so you're
on the
lukewarm.
Fly.
You're not totally cold. You don't have no idea, but you also haven't been fully prepped. But
I like lukewarm. It sounded like a Star Wars reference.
Oh gosh. Okay. Moving right along. Like Matthew mentioned, inspired by this edition of the magazine, as well as specifically that particular interview, I made up my own questions, kind of loosely based on that interview.
Cool.
That I thought fit us very well. So the first thing that I want to know, let's just kick it off and jump right in. I want to know, as best as you can describe, how did you feel about becoming a father when you knew that was happening? You know, it was one thing to be talking about the early stages of wanting to conceive, but you know, once everything was like signed, sealed, delivered, and confirmed, what was that process like for you? I mean, it's still ongoing, right? Because we haven't gone through the birthing experience yet, but I just want to know what that was like for you. I'm sure it's different for every man.
So I think it was best captured in a photo, because if you remember, you know, when you told me we were pregnant, I was out somewhere. You had, you know, you were a week late maybe, and you decided to go get the pregnancy test on your own and take the test on your own, and you had the results waiting for me. Mm-hmm. So when I came in the door, you said, hey, come to the bathroom real quick. I want to show you something. And when you showed me the test, I was just thinking, holy shit, we did it. and I had the presence of mind to pull out my phone shortly after, mm-hmm. you know, the we hugged and kissed and did all that. But then I wanted to document it. I was like, man, we're still in the energy. Let's take some pictures. Mm-hmm. And I think we took a video.
Yes.
And you know what? We're going to I'll post that photo and from the show notes for the episode. And you'll see our faces. And my face is like it's just incredibly happy, excited, holy shit, I can't believe this type of expression. And you had the same type of expression. I think yours is a little bit more hilarious than mine. But yeah, when we found out we were pregnant, I mean, you and I were intentional.
Yes.
So when we found out, I was like, wow, my dudes are really potent.
Some strong swimmers.
Yeah, some strong swimmers. They got the job done quick. I think we mentioned in an earlier episode, we decided we wanted to become pregnant, and a week later we were pregnant.
Yes.
It was very, very quick for us, which we're, you know, very, very fortunate.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now remind me, when we went to Dr. Ann, that was when we thought we were pregnant beforehand.
Correct. So a few months prior to actually being pregnant, very atypical for me. I was like 2 weeks late.
Yeah.
No sign in the horizon ever of a cycle starting. And it was just very, very odd. In my whole life, I had never had that happen. And there was an extreme possibility that we were pregnant based on my little tracker that I had and, you know, our history. So we had gone to her for a test, a blood test, just to make sure, to confirm. And
yes.
I was not pregnant.
No, so we weren't pregnant then. I think so I've had one other major pregnancy scare mm-hmm. with the previous girlfriend. And at the time, I think she was like 10 days late. Mm-hmm. And so I remember, you know, maybe day 4 or 5, she told me mm-hmm. that we were late. And I just remember thinking, okay, it's a possibility. Mm-hmm. And so in that moment, it's an incredible thing where you are both pregnant and not pregnant.
Right. You might as well be, but you don't know.
Yeah, and so you just have to live in this you know, dichotomous world of being pregnant and being not pregnant. And so I experienced that years ago. Experienced that again when, you know, before we actually got pregnant, when we went to Dr. Ann to check and make sure. And so when the results came in a few months later, after we were intentional and we actually were pregnant,
right?
It was like, okay. Mm. We're doing this thing. So, you know, my emotions were all over the place that first day, mostly colored, excited. I think there was definitely like a what the heck did we get into type of feeling, which I imagine is natural for first-time fathers, first-time parents in general. But yeah, just the excitement, fear, excitement, anticipation. Preparation,
and then repeat
excitement.
All back around again.
Yeah, and it just cycled through, and that picture really, really sums it up nicely.
Mm. So I want to know then, through this experience, through the pregnancy, have you felt as though you've been pregnant too, almost like vicariously through me? You know, because you've been very involved. I mean, from my understanding and where I sit, hearing other examples and stories of, you know, levels of involvement from fathers, you've been there for every single appointment, you've been a part of every major decision that's been made throughout the pregnancy. And that's not to judge anyone who is more or less, it's just that's how you've happened to show up in this experience. I'm just curious what that has done for you through the pregnancy process, being so involved. Like, what made you want to be so involved or be so involved, and as a result of that, what have you experienced?
So okay, there's like three questions there. I'll answer the first one. Did I feel pregnant? Physically, no. I didn't have any phantom pregnancy experiences. Although I sometimes like to joke that I do, like when my stomach hurts, I'm getting, mm-hmm. you know, or phantom cravings. Mm-hmm. But emotionally and that the feeling of a parent, you know what I mean? Like, I imagine there's a parent switch in you that kicks in when you realize you're about to become a mother. That switch flipped in me as well when I learned I was going to become a father. So then the thinking changes and your behavior changes and you start thinking longer term. You know, my life before then was probably in 24 hour to 48 hour, maybe 1 week.
Yeah.
Like, that's as far out as I could think, just because, you know, our schedules and things we were planning and work and all that stuff. But once we became pregnant, I started thinking, no, 9 months out. What's going to be going down in 9 months? Okay, what do we got to do in 8 months? What happens in 7 months? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I experienced the pregnancy alongside of you in that respect. All the different decisions, all the different things that go into it, which I think we took about a month to just sit with it. And I was very intentional about that because I knew that when we started with the doctor visits and this and that, all this shit was just going to get put into overdrive and it was full throttle and we were going. Mm. And I believe we experienced that with the wedding as well. Like, we got engaged and I didn't want to do anything for about a month, despite the fact that we only had 5 months to plan, mm-hmm. 6 months. We, you know, we had a quick from engagement to wedding, because I knew that when we got into like game mode, like, then it goes by really fast.
Right.
And I knew that 9 months was going to go by quickly. It has gone by incredibly quickly. So it's like, okay, let's just savor this moment and let's be as present as we possibly can and just enjoy one another. And I remember doing that with our vows. Mm-hmm. I, you know, there's something about me. I like to, like, when you know this thing is about to happen, it's like, all right, let's just savor the moment. Because I think with me, I tend to get into the experience and then all my senses are being hit and then all of a sudden 9 months has gone by and I'm like, it's a whirlwind. So I feel like I'm getting off on a tangent.
No, that's great. I mean, you said the experience, so I did ask you a couple of questions at once.
What was question number two?
The next thing I want to know is what contributed to you, your desire to be so involved in your commitment level throughout the pregnancy and all the decision making and the process?
When I was in college and the idea of marriage started to creep into conversations with my girlfriend at the time, the idea of like, well, do you want kids? You know what I mean? Like, and growing up, I always assumed I would have kids because that's like what you do. That's the typical narrative.
Right. The game, you know, of life that you start playing when you're young.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, so you roll a dice. Into. How many kids? Oh, you got twins. Cool. Put them in the backseat of the car. So I always assumed I would have kids. So there was always a part of me that was like, okay, you're going to be a father one day. I became excited about that prospect as I got later into my 20s. And then, I don't know, somewhere along the line, I just really started to open myself up to kids and being around kids. And maybe even when I got Watson, you know, we adopted Watson and I was taking care of him, I just was like, I'm going to be a fucking awesome father. Mm. Like, I felt like I'm going to be a great dad. And I've known that. So I think part of that belief and that mindset has led me to want to be a part of everything that we do. Fortunately, we've designed our lives, our jobs, our careers with the time freedom so that I can be present at all the appointments. I wouldn't want it any other way, and I didn't see it happening any other way. And with the decision making, I mean, there's certainly things that I'd rather you just do, and there's things that I just want to take care of. But I like the fact that we have a partnership in everything that we do. And so, you know, we can talk about things, we can discuss different things, we can weigh options, we can make decisions together. But then we also know that there's areas that each of us will just go ahead and handle. Like the decorating, you know, like you've said, I'm not really interested in decorating. So
I've been very hands off with the decorating.
Yeah. So I'll take it. I like decorating. Right. I dig it.
That's awesome.
And so that's, you know, those that's an area where it's like, okay, we both understand, like, I'll do this and you do that and cool. But I just believing and feeling in my bones that One of the roles that I've been intended to play in my life is of a father. I think that just helped me to, I don't even know helped, but it just led me towards wanting to be a part of the decisions for our daughter.
Well, and one big decision kind of ties into this whole show and its purpose and its mission is home birth, our decision to do home birth.
Yeah.
And as it relates to that, what was your idea of home birth previous to our decision to go with that? How did you feel about it? What was your frame of reference for that?
So we mentioned it in an earlier episode where we kind of went through our journey.
Sure.
And initially, I had zero serious thoughts about doing a home birth. I can't remember exactly what my thoughts about home birth were, but I know I associated home birth with, like, people who lived in the mountains and, you know, made their own baby food and never wore shoes and collected rainwater, and that's what they showered with. You know, like folks that they walk in a store and you smell them 5 miles away. And like that's what I associated home birth people with. They probably ate a lot of trail mix So I just didn't see home birth as something that I was going to experience. I had probably like what most people have. It's just idea like you just go to a hospital. That's where babies are born in America. They're born in a hospital and you go in. And I mean, I remember the movie Knocked Up. Like that perfectly sums up what the experience is supposed to be. And I mean, if you just go back and you think about movies and TVs, how they portray birth, it's always the fucking same. It's like the water breaks, it splashes on the floor of the grocery store, and they rush her into the car, and she's screaming in the back seat, and oh my god, it's crowning, and no, close your legs, keep it in, and they get her in the hospital, and she's flipping out, and someone's got a video camera, and she's squeezing the husband's hand, and his knuckles are breaking, and she's saying, I hate you, and like all that stuff. And although it didn't sound pleasant, that was the narrative. Like, you do that, and that's why you have the drugs, and you pump them full of drugs, and they get all super high, and they're just chilling, and they're watching TV, and the baby just gets pulled out by a vacuum cleaner. Like, all of that stuff, I didn't know anything seriously different than that. And then we started to do our research, just like a little bit of freaking research, and it just completely opened my eyes to so many things about birth. So many reasons why there's no way in hell that I would choose a hospital birth for us, or anybody that came to me for advice about birth. You know, just doing a little bit of research, looking at our options, and you know, with you and I, we do a lot of things the way that we want to do them, and it goes against the grain sometimes. And our wedding was an example of that. Our wedding was very much homegrown wedding. You know, we had friends and family take up different roles, from officiant to DJ to wedding planner, day of planner, to decorating. All of that stuff was done by friends and family, and it was done our way. So there was a part of me that always knew our birth would be done our way. But I just didn't know what options were available at the time.
Right.
Until we started looking into them.
Right.
And when we did, home birth was scary because it had all these fears, and they were all what ifs. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if yada yada? What if yada yada yada?
What were some of them?
Oh, I mean, what if you start to bleed profusely, right? And the midwives can't do anything for it. What if something internally goes wrong? What if there's something with your hernia scar, right? Like, what if you're asking me specifics. What other specifics? What if Maya comes out and there's something seriously wrong with her? And I say seriously wrong because I guess to an extent I'm ignorant of all the different potential things that can happen. But my mind filled in the blanks with the most horrible things.
Sure.
You know, and I think to myself, again, before I did my research, think to myself, well, there must be a reason why these doctors are doing all these C-sections. There must be a reason why they're snipping women. There must be a reason why they're pumping them with drugs. It's to prevent the dangerous things from happening.
Sure.
And then you start to learn.
Right.
Then you start to understand the business around hospitals and birthing and some of the reasons why this and that happen and yada yada. So those fears totally cropped up in my mind around doing it at home. But they're not there anymore. Mm. They've evaporated.
That's awesome. And what do you think was the biggest thing that contributed to your understanding that home birth was the greatest alignment with who we are?
For me, the biggest thing was the energy. Mm. And believing that welcoming Maya into her home, into the most loving space that we can create, surrounding her with loving people, with people who were just excited to see her in this space. You know, I think it's energy and it was environment. Mm. Because both of those things, when you are outside of the home, are heavily influenced by where you are and who's present. And when you're in a hospital, you can't control that. You can have some impact over the environment, very little. You could bring your own pillow maybe, or that, you know what I mean? Like, and the people there, you know, you chose your doctor, but let's say your doctor is on vacation on the day of your birth. Well, now you got another person coming in. Mm-hmm. Let's say the head nurse that you made friends with across all of your visits is out sick that day. Well, now you got another nurse and her squad rolling through, you know, your birthing room. So when I started to think about the environment that I wanted Maya to come into and the people, and specifically the energy of the people who are going to be welcoming her, home birth was the best option. Because I believe, this is my belief, I believe that a lot of the traumas that people experience in a hospital are heavily, heavily impacted and influenced by the hospital itself and by the people in that room. I totally believe that some of the people who go into, who have C-sections or who have to get cut, you know, that probably wouldn't have happened if they weren't in a hospital. It probably wouldn't have happened if there wasn't a time frame within which they needed to push that baby out. Mm. You know, it probably wouldn't have happened if the people on their support team were, you know, didn't have the what if fears. And there's people on our support team, there's people in our family who we intentionally did not invite to be on our support team because they come with those fears. And we knew that in to welcome Maya here, we did not want that fear. We wanted people who believed that Maya was going to have a peaceful, safe, healthy passage into the world. Through and through, 100%. And if somebody had an ounce of doubt about that, then cool, we'll call you when she's here. And we can control that. And so home birth was our option. You know, being in our home environment and choosing the people very intentionally that we wanted to be here and support us.
So what would some advice be that you would have for a father going through the home birth decision-making process and in that pregnancy? What's some feedback you would have for those dads to be?
I absolutely recommend dads and moms, whether you're actually in the home birth process, like you've already made the decision, you're weighing out your options, do your research. Do your research, learn for yourself. You know, the people who are going to tell you different things, they probably mean well, but they may not be well informed themselves. They may have taken something that they heard from another person and are now translating it to you. So do your own research, inform yourself. With this little asterisk, and that's be aware of the energy and the tone and the spirit with which you are getting that information. If you're reading articles that are toned with fear, right? Like, that's how it's going to come across. And there are resources out there. I mean, I know we started this podcast because we had a challenge finding resources to provide empowering conversations around home birth. But there are resources out there for you to look at. Pathways, right here, the magazine we're looking at. Pathways to Family Wellness is a resource out there for you to get information about home birth that comes from a loving and empowering place, while at the same time being very real, you know, because it's a birth does have some potential outcomes, some potentially unfavorable outcomes, absolutely, but that'll happen wherever you're giving birth, hospital, home birth center, at home, in a car, on a boat, on a plane,
sure,
in the backyard. I mean, things can happen. So my first piece of advice is just do your research. Be aware and mindful of the places that you're getting your information from, and really think about for yourself what you want to experience, because you have a say. And I don't mean you get to pick the scent of the candle that's going on in the room, right? Because of course you could do that, but envision what you want your birth to look like, to feel like. What thoughts do you want to have going through your head during all the different stages? How do you want your child to enter the world? Envision all of it as if you're watching a movie, and go create it. So just be intentional about all of that.
I love that you talked about vision, and I want to kind of conclude with, would you share part of your vision for our birth? Because we're at a really interesting stage. It hasn't happened yet. Well, just share with me one or two pieces of that vision that you've had for yourself that you're excited about.
So when we realize that Maya is coming, I envision a couple of things for us. I'm envisioning that it is in the early afternoon, probably around now. I mean, it's probably what, like 5 or 6 right now? I don't even know. But late afternoon, early evening, sun is setting, and okay, Maya's gonna begin her journey. So you and I, we go and take a nice walk. We get outside, we get the dogs, we walk through our neighborhood. It's peaceful. There's birds, you know, the deer might be eating grass or whatever, but we're hanging out. We come back home, we put on Harry Potter, and we watch one, maybe two movies, and we just relax. Maybe we play some Bananagrams, and we just connect. You know, we connect. And then when we move into the more active labor, the midwives come over, and you are just surrounded by love, and you can relax. You can relax because you know that you have chosen people around you who are supporting you, are sending you energy, the most powerful people that you know personally, and everybody is here for you and for me and for both of us and for Maya. So you could just, all of that tension and apprehension that could be there is just gone, and it's replaced with peace. And you peacefully experience Maya coming into the world. And just like you, when you and I are going through the game day and sitting in squat holds together, you know, you're breathing, you're locked in, you're feeling the love, and you're powerful. And then Maya comes into the world, and she's a beautiful, beautiful girl. And we look at her, and we immediately see each other's features in her. And there's just tears and connection with mommy and baby. And then I get to hold her, and she gets to feel the skin to skin, and you and I just, the rest of our lives shifts in the moment, and we go from there.
Okay. I guess that sounds all right. Tearing up over here. Wow, what a powerful way to to kind of wrap this up, thank you so much for your openness and your transparency. And, you know, I knew some of this, but it's so great to hear. And I even learned new things about you and your process. For anyone listening who is soon to be pregnant, going through this process, I highly recommend doing something like this.
Yeah,
I hadn't
totally.
Really planned this ahead of time, but both of you sitting down and kind of interviewing each other on how you're feeling about the process and the birth and all those days after, I think it'd be a really powerful exercise, and to save it too, to listen to later and see how you've evolved as people, a couple, parents, all of that, and be something cool for your baby to hear later on as well. So
yeah, that's the I think if you want to be very intentional about your experience, do like what Sarah just suggested. Take the questions, we'll put them in the show notes, and ask each other the questions, record it. I mean, everybody's got a voice recorder on their cell phones these days, so interview one another and just learn.
Yeah and share with us some of your insights, some things that you learned about your partner throughout the way and your pregnancy journey. Share what came up. We want to hear it. We want to hear it at on Twitter or email.
Yes, and actually, I want to give a specific question for you all. I want to hear your vision. I want to hear your vision. So record it. You can send us the MP3 recording if you want. You can write it down and email it to us.
Maybe a short video.
Yeah, maybe a video. That'd be awesome. You can take a video of yourself. And as Sarah was about to say, the email address is diahpodcast@gmail.com. Or you can hit us up on Twitter at @DIAHpodcast. And so, yeah, send us a video, maybe a recording of your interviews, or a written response. And I definitely want to hear what is your vision for your birth.
Yes.
Birth experience.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I am Sarah Bivens, and this is my husband here, Matthew Bivens.
Yep.
And we're just hanging out here doing it at home. So that's this episode for today. Thanks so much for joining us.
See you all later.
Does your father know you're listening to this podcast? Well, when you're done, why don't you stop by and check out a show that is 100% dad-approved, Dadages. Hi there, I'm Chad Higley. If you're looking for useful insights and practical advice you can actually apply to work, family, education, philanthropy, and just life in general, check out Dadages. That's Dadages, wherever you listen to your podcasts.